Thank you for being here. It is an honor to get to be able to come together and worship together and seek God and read His Word. It's an amazing privilege, so I'm honored to be here with you guys. So my name is Dove. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm just going to start with a little story about myself. Some of you may know a little bit about me, but so I have a stepmom, and so my parents divorced when I was young, and my dad remarried, and then my dad passed away a little over 10 years ago, and so my stepmom, she lives in the woods of Vermont, up in the Northern Kingdom, as they call it, and so I don't have like a really big relationship with my stepmom. We spent a bit of time growing up together, but I would only see my dad maybe once or twice a year, and so I would see her in that time. And as selfish as it is, I mostly just wanted to see my dad. And so that creates some interesting dynamics. Those of you that have step parents probably understand that. It can be hard to share time. And I have two older stepsisters as well. But they were kind of gone by the time my dad married their mom, and so I know them. We'll send a Christmas card every now and then, but it's not like we're really close or anything. So this summer, my stepmom invited me to come out and asked if I would come out and see her and help do some projects around her house. I probably haven't been to Vermont for 7 years, maybe. And so I got a plane ticket and was excited to go out there, and my stepsister from Colorado is going to be out there and give me a ride. And so I was talking to her about times and dates. And then I got COVID. And so I was sick. And then I called because my flight was for 14 days after I started having symptoms. And as I understand stuff I've read and people I've talked to, after 10 days, you're not really contagious. And by 14, you're pretty much in the clear. And so I still wanted to go out there. And so my two stepsisters didn't think that was a good idea. And so I hadn't talked to the older one. And so I wanted to call her and just kind of feel out, you know, before I ate this plane ticket, what her thoughts were. And so I called her and I said, "Hi, Carol. You know, this is Dove. I just wanted to call and understand more of your concerns." She was the main concern about me coming out there. And I was really surprised because I was expecting her to share like, "Well, you know, the CDC says this, but there's also these exceptions, and so I'm concerned about that." Or even just say, "It's kind of close. I just don't really feel comfortable." But instead, I got both barrels of a raging anger that was directed not only at me, but like the whole bigger COVID battle that's happening. And it really surprised me. And so she just went off. She built up all these straw men and threw mud all over them and slashed them down. Hope you guys know what a straw man is. And some of that was, people think this virus isn't real just because you can't see it and it's not really happening. Like, okay. And people think Mother Nature, which I guess she gets from my stepmom, is going to protect them through this, and they have nothing to worry about. Like, okay. And then she said, "You can get somebody to tell you anything you want to hear, but you know deep down that what you're saying is not true." And she kind of concluded, the one that hit me hard was, "Why don't you go visit your own mom rather than come visit my mom and get her sick?" Like, okay, I got it. And it was really painful for me. And I realized afresh, my immediate family's pretty civil through all of this. I realized there's this whole battle going on. There's like people that are really upset and really trying to tear each other down. And it's become not really listening a lot of times. It's just become fighting. And so as I look at that, it makes me think, what are we supposed to do with that? What is the call of followers of Jesus in the midst of this battle? Of course, there's so much other things going on as well that seems to be dividing people and kind of trying to tear apart families, maybe churches, tear apart our culture. Should we engage in that battle? And if so, how? How are we supposed to engage in that battle? So I want to share just what's on my heart on that, share some of the things that God says in the Bible directed towards that. And so why don't we pray and jump into that? So, Father God, thank you for your awesome sovereignty, that as the storms rage and the battles are fought, you are in control. You are above it. You see it all. You already know the end. You are not dismayed or anxious. God, I ask that you would stir our hearts today to trust you and draw near to you. I ask that you would give us wisdom in what you have called us to. What would you have for us? How do we walk with you in faith? We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know about you, but I think some people can pick a position really quickly, and they just know this is right and this is it. For me, I feel like there's so many pieces, and to try to figure out the whole puzzle is really challenging just for the way I think. Even as I've thought about COVID and some of the challenges we've faced in the last year and a half, I don't think there's any really simple answers. And some people make it sound like there's some really simple things, but there's a lot of complex pieces. So one of those pieces is that there's a virus that has killed hundreds of thousands of people. And there's obviously other factors in the death of a lot of those people, but the fact is there is a virus that has killed a lot of people. And that's a really serious thing. And then on the other hand, another concern is that the things that as countries and as societies we have done to try to mitigate the effects of COVID have had some really serious effects. The economy has had huge effects. The gap between rich and poor has grown even more than it was. The amount of poverty has increased. The lack of jobs. Although some parts of our society have boomed, COVID has been awesome for them. I mean, how good to be Amazon and be in COVID. You know, there's certain parts that have really, but there's been an increase in depression, an increase in suicide, an increase in alcohol and drug use. There's been an increased dropout rate from school. There's been an increase of domestic violence. And all these things, and a lot of those are tied into what we've done to try to mitigate the effects of COVID, and I think that's important. And then there's other concerns. One of the concerns I see is the division in our country, the polarization that has happened. We've become so polarized, a lot on political lines, but it's like the animosity and division is terrifying to me. And then on top of that, there's concerns of even just the way that people's personal freedoms have been violated with mandates that require people to act a certain way and do certain things. I think in the U.S., it's, you know, we have it fairly mild, but we have seen some of that. In other places, extreme control of people, lack of personal freedoms. Okay, so we have all these different pieces. One of the things I want to say in that, even just as Steve and I have tried to decide, you know, when do we open up as a church? What do we do with masks? How do we navigate this? It's been tough for me. And I know not all of you have agreed with the decisions that we've made. And I respect that. And I have a huge respect for our leaders and those who have had to make really tough decisions, because they have not been simple. And the effects of one creates other effects. There is no just easy answer in this complex problem. And so it's important to me to keep that respect. One of the things that we have been asked to do is to honor those in authority. But in Acts 5, it really lays this out really well. We're supposed to honor those in authority, but we are supposed to honor God above those in authority. And so sometimes that gets a little confusing, or maybe, I guess, opposed to each other. And there is a place, even in Acts 5, they say, you know, is it right for us to obey you, or is it right for us to obey God? And there is a place in the Christian life for civil disobedience, where we say, because of my conscience before God, it is not right for me to follow this. And we're supposed to do that gently, humbly, and receive the consequences cheerfully and rejoice in those. And so it's interesting that as I see people that feel like there is a time for civil disobedience, I have not sensed that in me. Like, man, the requirements that our government has put on me have violated my conscience towards God. But I also sensed kind of that even as I've read about, I'm reading a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called The Cost of Discipleship. But he's talking a little bit about Nazi Germany, and he was really opposed to Hitler and what was happening. And I'm not comparing what's happening here to Nazi Germany. But just there's some people, I think, that have this sense of like the slippery slope where the frog is slowly warming up in the pot and doesn't realize until it's boiling that it's time to get out. And so I have respect for people who have had a sense of like, we need to stand up for things before they get very far. But I personally haven't sensed that in myself of like, my conscience has been violated and I need to go against things. So now it's really clear what you should do, right? I just laid it out. Now you know exactly the position and stance that you all should have. Just like me, you should just see a whole complex puzzle. So I think what God's call, as we look at this raging battle around us in our culture, what should we do? I think his call, first of all, is not to sling mud. It is not to start slamming people, pointing fingers, adding to the chaos and division. When I was 16, I went on a canoe trip with my stepmom and my dad, and there was this cool spot along the Green River where there was quicksand. So it was this whole pit of quicksand, but it had a bottom on it. So you could only sink to about here, and then it had a solid bottom. And it was really cool. And if you're like me, the first thing you do in a pit of quicksand is see what that's like. So when you're in quicksand, the more you move, the more you sink. And you just go down into it. And you can wiggle all you want, and it just makes you go further and further. And so the only thing you can do is once you get out of it, is you can kind of crawl along the top of it, lay really flat, and swim out of it. But if you try to stand up, you'll just sink to the bottom. And so, of course, quicksand that's over your head, that's really bad. But here it was just fun. So the other thing, like if you're like me, if you're in a mud pit with other people, the obvious thing to do is have a mud fight. I mean, obviously. There's no other thing that, I don't know, should be done. And so we had an epic mud fight in quicksand, which was super fun. And this was the leader of the trip, Bart. He came out of it. You can tell, I think he lost. He did not win that mud fight. But this is not what we're called to as Christians. We are not called to sling mud and to be engaged in the battle in that way. We're called in a different way. And so I want to read through Titus chapter 3 a little bit, and we're going to look at Titus 3 starting in verse 1 says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do what is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. That reminds me of our political climate right there. That's not, I hope you heard the sarcasm, that is like, what an amazing picture of what it would look like to engage in things. What is our call? To be subject to our rulers and authorities unless our obedience to God is violated. In which case, we should go against them. But even then, how? We should be ready to do what is good. The followers of Jesus should have a picture, should paint a picture of doing good all over. To our friends and neighbors, to those in the church, to one another, to others that need things beyond in the city and our community. And I am blessed to see all the ways that believers in Jesus do that. That they make an effort to bring good. We're called to slander no one, even if you think they're an idiot. To not bring this slander, but to be peaceful and considerate, and to always be gentle towards everyone. And it goes on to tell us why. Why is that? Because at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. So he's saying, why should you be kind to other people? Remember where you came from. That helps me so much. Man, remember what a jerk you've been. Remember where you used to be. Remember how I was a slave to passions and pleasures and just stuck. And this is so awesome. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so it was not because we were righteous. Oh, I'm on the good side and they're on the bad side. It was because I was a miserable wretch, and the love and kindness of God came to my life, and He transformed me from the inside. He didn't just give me all the answers, so now I was on the right team. He transformed me from the inside by the Spirit of Christ living in me, that I was a new person, born again of the Spirit. From the moment I believed in Christ, He came and lived in me. And that is my righteousness. He came and transformed me from the inside. I have a new spirit. What an amazing thing. And when we get in this, I'm the good guy, I got the right answers, it's like, no. I am not better than anybody else. In fact, I used to be like others, and God transformed me. His Spirit made me new. So that having been justified, which means I'm no longer legally guilty, I've been justified by His grace, we might become heirs. If the Spirit of Christ lives in you, you are a son or daughter of God. You have an inheritance in heaven. We became heirs, having the hope of eternal life. What an amazing thing. And to remember where our righteousness comes from, it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from me. There's a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. All right, he goes on to say, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. So he's not talking outside the church division. He's talking about within the church. If there's someone who's just stirring up division, trying to divide the church, separate us, when God desires for us to be united, we should address that. And most of that is calls on the pastors. That we have a call to address things that cause division, and because it doesn't fit in the family of God. It doesn't fit in Christ's body. And so we should take that really seriously. That we should unite together. We should be united, even if, and there's room for, having some different opinions. And there's room for having different takes on things, or understanding what actions should be taken in different ways. But we're united in a different way because we have been transformed by the blood of Christ and by His Spirit. And from that place of unity, we have the greatest unity. We can have diversity in some smaller things without dividing. All right, so I just want to lay out three things. This is how, as I see it, we should engage in this battle. And it's more how than it is specifics. Here's how you should vote, or how you should, you know, I'm not going to lay that out, but I think this is how we've been called to live. The first is that we're called to live a life of love. We are called to listen. I think listening is a great act of love. Even to people we disagree with, listen, hear them, understand why they believe what they believe. Be caring and compassionate about what others are going through. Care about those things, even if you disagree with their stance on something. We're called to do good to others. We're called to even love our enemies. I heard a good definition. An enemy is anyone that you feel any hatred towards. That's an enemy. Whoa. We're called to love them and do good to them because we are called to overcome evil with good. And the reason is, this is the way of God. The love and kindness of God has permeated our lives. The love and kindness of God has transformed His followers. The love and kindness is what has come to us and given me a desire to follow Christ wherever He says to go. The love and kindness of God is what draws people, what woos them, that makes them see the magnificence of God. God treats His created people with love and care and freedom, even when those things hurt Him, even when it doesn't come back to Him. And to remember that, we are called, as we have been loved, we are called to walk in love. And it starts in our families. It starts with those right around us. And it continues beyond. May we show love as people who have been loved so deeply. May we show love to those around us. The second, we've been called to speak the truth. But we've been called to do it with gentleness and humility. Respect. And so part of speaking the truth means that we're honest with who we are. I was impressed recently, someone just saying, wherever you work or your neighborhood, whatever relationships you have, as soon as it's fitting, let them know, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Sometimes in my life, I feel like, well, I'm going to wait until, like, they like me. And then after they like me, then I'll say, oh, hey, by the way, hey, I believe in Jesus. And I just impressed with that truth, just like there's no reason to hold back. And this is tough for me. I struggle with people pleasing. God's been chipping away at that in me, which has been hard, and I really appreciate. a couple Saturdays ago, we stopped after Men of God and got some burritos, my son and I. And I needed to work on my sermon. It was Saturday, and, you know, of course it wasn't done. But so the person there was like, "Oh, what are you guys up to this Saturday?" And she was, like, really wanting to know. It wasn't just like that, like, you know, "Oh, how are you doing?" Whatever. And rather than just being like, "Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm going to go home, and I need to work on this sermon for tomorrow," I was shy, and I was like, nothing, not much. I don't have much to do. Just a whole ton, you know, just try to get my ducks in a row. And then a week later, I went and we've been working on our kitchen. I got a couple cabinet doors made. There's a place over here. And I went in and I was just chit-chatting with the owner as I paid. And I asked him how long he'd been doing it. And he said, "Oh, I used to have a cabinet shop on McCutcheon," which is, you know, this street right out here. I was like, "Oh, wow, that's cool. Our church meets right there on McCutcheon." Rather than hiding it, "Oh, I go to church. I believe in Jesus." Speak that. Let the light of that shine. And then he was like, "Oh, great. Oh, is that the Rio Church? Yeah, I've seen you guys. And when are you guys' services? Oh, do you have any besides Sunday? And are you one of the pastors there?" And we had this nice conversation. And one of the things that I wrote as I was laying at home with COVID, I think God has taught me a lot through times that I've been sick in my life. And one of the things I wrote down is, I am allowed to speak freely. What is it that has so much convinced me that I should not speak freely? What is that? Speaking about what I deeply believe in has been underbined by my sniveling, people-pleasing fear of people. And I realize that. I have undermined some things I deeply believe in. I have denied Christ at times where it's like, "Oh, I'm embarrassed." It's pathetic. And God is gracious in that. God has been so gracious to me. He hasn't slammed me. I think he's encouraged me. "Hey, you can speak freely. It's okay if somebody knows you're a Christian." And even to speak freely, what do you believe? Yesterday I was at a Walk to Emmaus training, and I appreciated we just recited the Apostles' Creed, which I don't know if you guys have heard that. We don't really use it much here, but they just laid out, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son." And just to say, I believe in God. I believe he created. I believe he sent Jesus to restore us. I've experienced Jesus' love and his forgiveness. And I have a hope of living forever with him because he's got a spot for me in heaven. What does Peter say about that? Peter writes, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." And so I think that's such a beautiful picture. Speak this way, but speak in love with gentleness and respect so you can't be slandered. And That mix of love and truth is challenging at times. And I've appreciated hearing truth without love is just harshness. But love without any truth is just compromise. In my life, I've tended towards compromise at times because I feel like love is so important. But it's also important to speak the truth. So what does that look like? I'm not especially political. Pathetically political, but there are people that are born with ambiguity in gender, like hermaphroditic, like about 1 in 1,000 people born have a mix of male and female, or you're unable to be clear if they are male or female. So it's relatively common. And then there are people that have a sense that the body they are in is not really their gender. That maybe they have a female body or a male body, but they're actually the opposite gender. And there are people that that feel like the gender they are, for whatever reason, is less than, or they think it would be better to be another gender. And as I look at that, I think an individual like that deserves a lot of compassion. And I hope any one of us, if we were to talk to somebody struggling with that, would have a ton of compassion. How hard would that be to have ambiguity in your gender, or to be have both genders, or not a neuter gender? That would be a huge challenge. When the world is full of male and female, and to feel like I'm separate, I'm different, I think all of us have, in times when we felt like we didn't fit in, have struggled with that. How hard would it be to feel like your gender is not who you are, or your gender is not as acceptable or better? What an amazing amount of compassion should be shown in that situation. And I hope that we have compassionate hearts for individuals, that we care for them, that we listen to that. On the other hand, does that mean we should throw out gender and say it's a social construct? Absolutely not. Truth of God, of biology, says gender is a real thing. It is something you're given. You don't choose it. And so there's this truth that comes in. And I think sometimes it's really hard to hang on to both of those. And sometimes we think, oh, if I show somebody compassion, that's going to give an excuse. Oh, I care about the people who have struggled with, I have friends and family members who have had abortions. And if I show compassion to the abortion issue, oh, that means I give full permission to it. Like, we can't hang on to two things at once. Or we're afraid, oh, if we talk about the truth, then we're automatically unloving. And I think we can hang on to both. God is a God of absolute love and tenderness, and He is a God of truth. And those things fit together, and at times they're hard to navigate. They're hard to keep both of those. It is hard to hate evil and the things destroying this world and still love people really, really deeply. But I think that's what we're called to do. And I think we're called to speak the truth, and I think we're called to love, love, love people. All right, third point. We have been called to engage in a bigger battle. Not just the battle of mudslinging and politics and what your stepsister thinks about you, but there is a bigger battle going on. And this bigger battle is not against flesh and blood, especially not against other believers, where we have been called to be united, but is against the powers of darkness who want to destroy us, who want to separate us. I have sensed more than ever in my life a sense of a spiritual battle happening. There are spiritual forces, the devil and his demons, and God and the angels. There is a spiritual battle that we cannot see that is absolutely raging. And we are called to engage in that. It's not just about who our president is or who's the leader of this party, but there's a spiritual battle. And those things are a small picture of it, and they're even directed by it at times. And so it doesn't mean it doesn't matter, but there's also a bigger battle that we can engage in. And I want to just say a couple things on engaging in that spiritual battle. It's in Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so, to engage in that spiritual battle, the first thing I want to pass on, and I feel like I harp on this all the time, this is my passion, this is my, if I meet with you, if I share up here all the time, my passion is that you would have a dynamic, growing, living relationship of faith with the living God. Because He is so much stronger than any spiritual power. And any the spiritual powers of darkness are absolutely stronger than me. They will destroy me. But God is above them all. And my charge is, may we connect to God. May nothing separate us from God. May we grab onto him. May we spend time with him. May we hear his voice. May we rest in his power. May we enjoy him. May we read his words. May we listen for his voice. May we let his spirit permeate us and grab us and love us. May we abide in him. Jesus describes it as a vine and a branch. And if the branch gets separated from the vine, it's worthless. It dies. We must stay connected to God. With all that we have, we must stay connected to him. And enjoy that relationship. Grow in it. He has so many good things to give us. And he protects us. And I see it as like this umbrella. And so if I was in a war, the last thing you do is run out from your base and think you're Rambo. I don't know anything about war, but I know that'd be stupid. You stay under the umbrella of your protection. You stay under God's will. You don't run off. You stay there in his voice. You spend time with him. In fact, you spend time enough to turn off all the garbage and just be with him and know he's God. He loves you so much, and his power is so much greater than all the minutiae we're worried about. And the second part of that is in our relationship with God, any places where we've allowed the enemy to have a stronghold, let's deal with that. If there's places we need to confess and bring to the light, places of addiction, places where there's strength, places of greed or lust, or just places where the enemy has got a hold of us, let's continue to shed those. Let's continue to let God speak love and truth into those. Any stronghold of the enemy, may it be busted. May we walk in purity, pure devotion to Christ. And I feel like the second thing, we have a serious weapon. God has given us an amazing weapon in this spiritual battle. And that weapon is prayer. And we have the power to pray. And prayer unleashes spiritual forces. It breaks spiritual bonds. And I just want to encourage us to not just engage in the political battle. There is a place for us to be a part of that, speaking truth and love. But there is a place to be involved in this bigger battle, and that is in prayer and in the armor of God. So we're going to take a little bit of time to pray. We're going to do 5 different prayers. 3 of those people are going to come up and pray. And so the first one, I'm just going to ask you guys to pray where you're at. I want you to pray for places in your life or in your family where you feel like the enemy is brought some attack. And maybe that's in division, maybe that's in confusion, maybe that's in sickness, and whatever that is, we're just going to pray for ourselves and our families against those places of attack. So we'll do almost a minute of that, and then David, if you want to come up after that and all right, David's going to just do a prayer for Afghanistan and for the challenges there.
I had an opportunity this week to actually visit the Afghan site there in Doña Ana, and it was the first time I had seen it, and you kind of like look at things on the news and you kind of think of the numbers, but I was like, I want to go out there and look at it myself, and I don't know, I just felt this overwhelming compassion toward those people. And it's like, I saw families, I saw mothers with children, I saw men. So, and they're building a small city out there. We're expecting almost 11,000. I think there's about 5,000 people on the ground now. And I was on a telecon this week. There are 8 different sites in the United States that are similar to ours. So you're looking at almost over 100,000 people are coming, and they're going to be distributed throughout our country. So again, I just felt a heart of compassion for these people, and that it looks overwhelming for us. But I want to believe that I serve a bigger God, and that He will find a way to make a way where we don't see a way. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the Afghan mission, Lord. We just lay it at your altar today. I just pray, Lord, that we will be a compassionate people, Lord. I pray that they will see the love of Christ in everything that we do for them, Lord. I just pray that wherever there's an opportunity for us to show your love, Lord, that we will show love, we will show compassion, we will show your favor to them. And that I know that lives will be changed. Some of their souls will come to know you in a personal way as Lord and Savior. And I just pray that when we are called upon to lend a hand or to serve in a way, Lord, that we will be ready. We will be a discernment of your spirit, and that we will be ready to just show your love and compassion to these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're going to say a prayer for the church, including our church and just the greater church, the people who believe in Christ all over the country, that we would be united and for God's power. Tim, you're next.
Hey, God, just I do just pray for the church in this day and age. It is a very scary time that we live in. There's so much stuff going on, wars, politics, information, sicknesses, natural disasters. And Lord, we live in a time where we as a church have a choice as to how we're going to live in this world. And you say in the Bible that says there will come a day when the true sons of God will be revealed. And I don't know if we're in those times, but I do know that we're in a time and place where we have a choice as a church to rise up and say, we can either follow all the stuff that's going on in this world, or we can follow the gospel of Christ. And we can choose what truth or what information we let into our lives. We can let all the information that's out there in this world that's just thought up by the minds of men, or we could follow the gospel of Christ and the truth that it has to offer. And I just pray as a church that we would choose as a whole, just as the real church, but as the body of believers around the world, that we could rise up in these times and say, we will follow the gospel of Christ, and we're not going to let all this outside stuff, all this outside worldly influences drag us down and destroy our beliefs and destroy our faith, but we're going to stand strong in the gospel of truth, and we're going to choose to follow our God. We're going to choose faith. We're going to choose to not be influenced by all this stuff that's going on in the world. And I just pray that with all the pain and all the suffering that's happening, that we as a church could rise up and just show the love and the compassion that this world lacks. We are the ones who can help. We are the ones who can love. We are the ones who have compassion. I just pray as a church, we would rise up and we would show that.
Amen. All right, we're gonna pray for our government and for those in leadership and for our country. Luke.
Dear Lord, I pray that we would remember that these large organizations, our city and state and our federal government, are made up of individuals that are just as broken as everybody in here, probably not as broken as me. I pray that you would help us to remember that it is our responsibility to pray for them. I pray for them that you would work on their consciences, that if they are believers, that you would give them the strength to stand for what's right. And if they aren't, that you would still work within who they are as a human being, that at one time they wanted to do what is right for other people. I pray that you would work within that spirit, that you bring it back out of them, and that they would find a way to make the best decisions possible in complicated situations. And I pray that you would help us to remember that our job is to just keep praying, and that as long as it doesn't interfere with your will, that we would do the best we can to be obedient to your callings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you guys for joining me in prayer. I just want to encourage you guys in that battle. It doesn't mean we're raging as we engage in the battle, but we can engage in the raging battle and be witnesses of Christ in it. So God bless you.